Chapter 7. I had never been thrown into such total and encompassing darkness before. And if I wasn't holding on to Nova's hand, I probably would have screamed just like she did. The fact that we were deep below countless fathoms of water, even farther away from the sun, made the blackness feel like a palpable death shroud. The ground began to rumble violently, and I could hear the crash of the surf. And I imagined the underground cavern we were all in as a fishbowl on a subway train track, because that's what it felt like. Fucking terrifying. The tremors also caused Nova and me to fall to the ground, and we lost each other's grip as we were ripped apart by the shaking. As if it couldn't get any worse, the lake water in this veritable fishbowl finally reacted to the tectonic rumbling, and I was suddenly surrounded by cold water up to my elbows. I hurriedly scrambled to my feet, and I blinked my eyes rapidly as if that would help me evolve some miraculous ability to see in the dark. Of course, it did not.
Nova!
I called out, when her screaming cut out after a telltale splash. Now was not the time for her to swim away. Very, very not the time.
Nova! Shay!
Alex!
Nova's voice ricocheted around the cave and made it impossible to tell which direction she was coming from. The heart of the island suddenly flickered like an engine struggling to start. And through the strobe of the weak light, I was able to make out the silhouettes of Nova about 12 feet away from me, and then of Shay still standing in front of the pulsing obelisk.
Yay, yay!
Nova yelled out, almost like she was warning the Phoenix Woman away from the heart, which had started to glow the most magical azure.
No touch!
Shit. I knew whenever the Siren Woman uttered that phrase, it was best to heed her. And I had a feeling this was one of the most important times to follow said instruction. But Shay, or Ye-Ye, as Nova seemed to want to call her, wasn't listening. In fact, I could see my wife's almost vacant expression as she stumbled closer to the royal blue obelisk like a moth to a flame. I'd seen this expression on her face before, and it was right before she took off for the crumbling sentinel tower back on Terre. It was like she was possessed by some sort of fever that made her seek out the source of the overwhelming pain calling to her. On Terre, it happened to be at the top of the island's throat. The jagged canyon that funneled all the way down into the earth due to the constant digging and mining of the island's unusual ore, until the miners had dug too deep and exposed the vulnerable heart of the island. When I'd traveled down there with Tharfin, the captain of the mines at the time, I saw the exposed heart for what it was, a sickly, throbbing mess like the Omite obelisk was a moment ago. Tharfin ended up telling me a small fact about the island's unusual shape and how it still allowed the faintest shaft of sunlight to hit it during mid-epoch. And through some preternatural force only she was aware of, Shay was called to the exact spot on the suspension bridge that hovered over the heart so her healing golden tears could fall onto the island's center from above. Now she was obviously being called again by a voice much louder than either Nova or myself, so I started running.
Shay!
I bellowed, even though I knew it was futile, and one more step had her making contact with the lapis-like surface of the obelisk with her outstretched palms. The moment she made contact, she disappeared into the crystal like it was platform 9 3/4 or some other witchy shit.
What the fuck?
I yelled in shock. And I came to a screeching halt about 3 inches away from the glowing blue spire that at first looked healthy and beautiful, but now just looked ominous.
It just ate my wife!
Not inside!
Nova said as she jogged to my side.
Through!
What do you mean?
I questioned her sharply. She made a frustrated noise that was part growl, and then pantomimed like she was opening a door.
Through. Okay, got it, I said. So this is a portal of some sort?
Portal?
Nova cocked her head.
Door?
I tried. And her eyes lit up with recognition.
Yes, this door of Ohm,
she confirmed. And she stared at me with a deadpan expression that seemed to ridicule me for not knowing this apparently obvious factoid.
Door on all islands.
There's a door on each island?
I arched an eyebrow in her direction.
All Eventhal Heart is connected, but cannot use door until one heart is not sick.
She explained as best she could in her pigeon speech. My mind spiraled and branched off into a thousand different directions. And I had several follow-up questions to this, but the most important one tumbled out of my mouth first. Can you take me through this door to find Shay?
Yes,
she said. And then her lips tugged up into a small grin.
Lacuna children can travel through doors like all keepers. Yay, yay is keeper.
Yeah, of Nada Isle, I nodded. As you are the keeper of Ohm.
Yes,
she said, and then held her hand out for me, palm up.
Now let go. You die.
I breathed as my heart did a good job of trying to escape my ribcage since the thrill of danger was running through me. I took another steadying breath and then clutched her hand tightly in mine. Okay, I won't, I promised. The siren woman then led us up to the portal, and we walked through the previously hard crystal as easily as parting a curtain. That was literally the last time the word easy could be used about the experience. I felt as if I was being crushed from all sides, and a horrifying image popped into my head about the Augustus Gloop kid who got sucked up into the tubes in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I felt just like that kid being forced through a space much too small. And to top it off, the thing forcing me was Nova, as she somehow pulled us through while being anchored to my hand. Finally, the incredible pressure lifted, and I gasped and stumbled to my knees along with Nova. Our hands were still clasped together, and even though we were out of the portal, I was reluctant to let go of her. So while we were still connected, I helped her to her feet as I did the same.
Where?
The siren woman swiveled her head around as she took in the sight of the place we were now in. It was mostly dark, but something across the large chamber let off its own ambient light that was a vibrant gold and a rich red. Then we both approached the cracked stone bier surrounded by crumbling statues depicting about a half dozen familiar shield maidens, and I gasped. Are we on Nada? I snapped my head to my side, where Nova was standing next to me.
Nada, heart,
she confirmed as she pointed to the glowing molten lava rock pulsing under what remained of the plaque and of the pier itself.
Yay Yay was here and healed heart, but gone now.
Do you think she even knew where she was? I asked, and the siren woman simply shook her head.
Oh,
she sang, and suddenly the molten thing under the cracked bier flared. A glowing gas-blue sphere appeared to float in front of us, just like it had after I fought the Flame Guardian, keeping Shay's heart safe before I could bring it to its rightful owner. Nova smiled at the little orb of flame like it was an old friend. And then she squeezed my hand and gave me a look I knew just how to interpret. Yeah, I'm ready, I answered her voiceless question. And I squeezed her hand back. Let's go find Ye Ye. The siren woman jerked her indigo head down in a determined nod. And with her non-occupied hand, she touched the glowing orb. Ugh. That restrictive feeling of being squeezed by an anaconda wrapped around me again. And even if I wanted to scream, it would have been impossible to expand my lungs under the pressure. This was something I didn't think I would ever get used to. And when we finally emerged from the Flatland dimension for the second time, I wasn't surprised to see the familiar darkness of the Terran ore mine, or of the strange onyx labyrinth growing around something glowing a vibrant vermilion. What I was surprised by, however, was the sea of large furry beasts that looked like the badger moles from Last Airbender. But with large shovel-like duck bills, as well as large stegosaurus spikes spaced down the middle of their backs. They also had long whip-like tails with a hard-looking ball on the end that looked like it would be lights out if one ever came in contact with my skull. These must have been the famous drill beasts Tharfin had told me about last time I was here. The beasts themselves were largely absent when we came down here to rescue the drill beast eggs, thought to be abandoned by the creatures when the Terrans drove them out due to their incessant mining. It wasn't that long ago when the lower Terrans were able to leave the harsh realms of the lower echelon behind. And it seemed as if the local population didn't waste any time in moving back into the neighborhood. Nova gasped when she realized what the dark mounds were. But I pulled her slightly behind me and shushed her. Then I noticed the beasts only appeared to be staring straight ahead, with their eyes wide open as their heads rested down on the tops of their huge mole paws. I frowned and looked closer, and I saw their eyelids had a particular pattern on them that made it seem as if their eyes were actually open. It was a highly effective evolutionary defense. "Sleeping," I murmured, and then I pressed my finger to my lips as I pointed to the glossy and jagged henge of rocks that formed the protective labyrinth where Tear's heart was throwing off its orange and yellow light. Nova nodded in understanding, and I tugged her slowly behind me as the two of us attempted to wind our way through the field of slumbering beasts. The good thing about these creatures was they snored enough to adequately cover the sounds of our feet as we shuffled past the outer ring of their pack. So at first, we didn't have too much of a problem with it. However, the closer we got to the heart, the more concentrated the pack became, and I noticed these drill beasts were often smaller in stature and devoid of those characteristic spines the bigger ones had. Then I realized the inner layer of the pack must have been the females, and they were being surrounded by the males for protection. It made sense when I knew the beasts were partial to keeping their eggs and young as close to the heart as they could. I should know, considering one of the eggs had actually been given to me as a gift, and I suddenly wondered what had happened to it. Now wasn't the time, but as I caught snatches of their serrated teeth and ogled their lethal 6-foot-long ivory claws, I made a strong note to follow up on that. It would probably be not very good indeed if I had a drill beast randomly hatch when no one was looking. Given their large saber-like canines, I didn't have to be Charles Darwin to know these guys were strictly carnivores. Nova suddenly stepped wrong on a sharp stone, and her foot twisted enough for her to lose her balance. I yanked her hard on instinct so she wouldn't plow into one of the sleeping females. The siren woman sucked her plump lower lip in between her white teeth to keep herself from crying out. But the cloud of dust we'd both kicked up wafted toward the snout of the closest drill beast. Unfortunately for us, the beast happened to be right in the middle of a deep inhale, which caused the dust cloud to be hoovered straight up into its shovel-like snout.
Snuff!
The creature gave an almighty sneeze, and woke with a series of snorts that had it jumping up on all fours and hacking onto the others around it. And like dominoes, the drill beasts woke one by one in a chain reaction I'd really been hoping to prevent. When the sneezing female finally quieted down, the entire pack was growling grumpily about being awoken, and I knew Nova and I only had about a minute before the hibernation hangover wore off and they realized who was responsible for the early wake-up call.
"Come on,"
I hissed over the din of growling and snorting as the beasts blindly knocked into one another. And I wondered if they were like the moles I was familiar with back on Earth, with similarly bad eyesight. The siren woman and I put this theory to the test when we finally had to let go of one another so we could dodge between large stocky legs and avoid those ball-and-chain tail flails. It was rather dicey, especially when we entered the final ring of the pack closest to the strange black onyx henge, because this was where the youngest beasts dwelled, but they weren't defenseless hatchlings by any means. They actually looked to be adolescents all about the same size and stature, and even though they still had some soft baby fluff to their fur, the striped brown and white pattern the adults had was coming into their coats. This also meant their teeth and claws were starting to resemble that of the mature drill beasts, and because they were young and small, they were actually harder to avoid outright. Eventually, the inevitable happened, and one of my broad shoulders knocked into a furred hide. This caused the mole badger platypus thing to yelp out the distinctive cry of distressed offspring, and I knew we were fucking fucked.
"Run!"
I yelled, when at least four of the mama drillers finally spotted the two interlopers in their midst and began to paw the ground like enraged bulls. Nova screamed, and she had to lean back almost parallel to the ground when one of the drill beasts whipped the ball end of its tail directly at her.
I skidded and doubled back when she lost her balance, and then I hauled her back to her feet under one arm. From here, we clasped hands again and pelted for the first of the glossy henge stones that made up the small labyrinth. We zipped behind it just as another mamadriller lashed her deadly tail at us, and the end hit the standing stone with a violent crack that sent a spray of shrapnel raining down on us like broken glass.
"Shay!"
I called out, just as one of the larger male beasts arrived at the mouth of the winding stone maze and snapped its slobbery jaws in a rage. There was no telling if the Phoenix Woman was actually here or not until we made it to the center where the heart was throbbing strongly.
"Yay, yay!"
Nova called as well, and we both suddenly had to sprint when a drill beast climbed over the outer wall and dropped down behind us.
"This way!"
I shouted as we came to a fork, and I jerked her sharply to the right instead of the left like she wanted to go. I would feel sorry at the rough treatment of her person later, but for now the tremble under my bare feet told me large as a barge and totally in charge behind us was worse than a little whiplash. We took another left fork before three more rights, and I was grateful Tharfin had taken the time to drill the directions into our heads during the times we would all camp on the way down to the mines. He didn't want anyone to get lost and figured it was best to make us all memorize what he and his lieutenants had done already. Finally, after rounding the last of the labyrinthian walls, the Heart of Tear was there half buried in the ground like I remembered it being. Only this time it was a healthy orange-yellow that reminded me of midday spring sunshine. There were also at least twice the number of large oblong driller eggs than there were last time, and they were basking in the warmth radiating from the heart. The hedges of stone-like driller offspring looked like a dense maze-like forest, and a small niggle of doubt crept in that I might not be able to find Shay in time.
"Ooh!"
Big Daddy opened his fang platypus bill and roared at us when he finally followed us into the middle of the maze.
"Oh no!"
Nova gasped in terror, and her maroon-colored eyes dilated as her expressive ears drooped.
"We'll use the eggs to our advantage,"
I hurriedly explained, and wove us deep within the cluster of unhatched drillbeast pups.
"He'll be too afraid to break them, and that way we can at least portal out of here."
"Yay, yay?"
she questioned.
"Where could she be?"
I asked back.
"Only Nada, Tear, and Ohm have been healed. Where would she go?"
"Look!"
The drill beast roared again as he was waylaid by all of the eggs. We stopped for a second to catch our breathing, and I took the time to pop my head up to see where our position was. Big Daddy was lifting his big, stompy feet up and kept looking under them like he was making sure he hadn't accidentally trampled on a precious egg. But when he spotted me, he started bellowing again. The sound was so loud, a little bit of dust from the rock walls and part of the ceiling rained down on us.
"Shit, he's pissed,"
I said, and I ducked down so we were low enough to hide behind the eggs.
"Come on, the heart is just a few more feet this way."
"Look!"
the beast roared. And when I popped up one more time, I saw him carefully start to move the eggs in front of him by gently scooping them up one by one on his shovel snout and rolling them aside. It was kind of cute, in a murderous grizzly bear sort of way, and I felt a little bad for upsetting their colony like we had. After having their numbers depleted, and then their offspring being used as beasts of burden for the miners for who knew how long, it wasn't a wonder why they were so territorial. They probably just assumed that because we were people, we wanted to take their eggs again for our own devices. Too bad there wasn't a way to say sorry to the creatures, but I didn't think getting even closer to the animal was wise. So leaving them in peace would just have to be enough. When we finally made it up the glowing Heart of Tear that now resembled something like a gorgeous citrine crystal with a burnt orange at the center, I stopped Nova from portaling us.
"Wait, let's think about this. Would she really be back on Ohm?" I asked the Siren Woman.
She paused with a serious frown of contemplation on her jade-colored face, and she released my hand so she could fold one arm across her waist as a prop for her other elbow. Then, with one finger, she tapped the dip in her top lip a few times and thought.
"Yay, yay is incarnate,"
Nova said.
She can feel hot. She is hot.
Yeah, I nodded as I tried to parse out her meaning.
She say, Om, lonely,
the siren woman slash detective went on. Why would she say such a thing? I questioned.
Om, an ang,
she explained, and then laced her fingers together slowly.
Together, like sisters.
Man, what I would do to get my hands on some of those geographical maps of Aventhold Jenner usually had above every single desk he claimed as his own. I needed to start paying more attention when he droned on about some Aventholian factoid, regardless of how boring it seemed, because now some more knowledge of this place would come in handy. Om and Aang are connected, I surmised.
Yes,
Nova said.
They share same heart, one half and one half.
If that's the case, Shay probably followed the call of the incarnate power to Aang, I said in a dawning horror. I didn't even know that that was possible without healing the heart of Aang first, like you said. Nova only shrugged like she was just as baffled and as wary as I was. Who knew if Shay even made the journey, much less if she had to contend with anything like I had when I faced the Elemental Guardian. A whole host of things could be going wrong. And there was a list just as long as to why we shouldn't even attempt it. But it was Shay, and we had no other choice. We might not make it back, I warned her.
Yes.
Nova nodded her inky blue head once more as the situation became gravely clear. But her hand tightened in mine as her answer. We were both going through a broken portal to an island neither of us had ever been to in the hopes that my wife was there. And hopefully, we would all arrive in one piece.